Welcome to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB, keeping levy payers informed and at the heart of the conversation.
Hello there, it's Steve West here from AHDB. We're going to be talking about something that AHDB doesn't get heavily involved in, TB. It's an area of focus for farmer lobby groups, advisory services like TBAS and TB Hub. But there is a specific reason why TB is going to be discussed, and it's quite a big one. Now I'm going to let Deputy President of the NFU, Tom Bradshaw, give you a hint.
We've just heard about the general licensing. Now, farmers hate red tape, and anything which can make life easier can remove paperwork and remove the need to apply for a license for every individual animal to that general licensing. It's going to be really beneficial.
Now, Tom had lots more to say on that, and you're going to have to wait till later in the podcast to find out more of the detail on that. Back in 2019, AHDB and NFU set up a dairy calf forum to address some of the challenges faced by the industry, and this led to the GB dairy calf strategy. Again, we're going to hear more about that later on. As a member of this industry group, I was invited to take part in a TB subgroup meeting that was hosted by AHDB monitor farmer Ian Farrant. Now, Ian was particularly keen to host this meeting, and I wanted to find out why. Ian, can you tell us a little bit more about the farm here?
Yeah, so we farm here in Herefordshire. Moved here in 2004. We take dairy cross calves, rear and finish everything on site. So we'd have anything up to 1,000 head of cattle on our farm at one time, finishing 650, 700 animals a year. That's kind of grown over the past 20 years, and TB is something that crops up all the time, and more than happy to have had a meeting and been able to voice my opinions.
So you've agreed to host this meeting today, and in a moment I'm going to talk to Michael Oakes about what the dairy calf strategy is, and we'll hear about a bit more about the TB meeting. But what really focused you on hosting this today?
Well, we're quite unique in that within our family partnership, we also have a dairy farm down in Oxford. They supply almost all of our calves. And actually, in terms of TB reactors, we haven't had a huge problem. It's more TB policy that has caused us issues. Up until very recently, we've been a grazing AFU, so we've been able to take my cousin's calves no matter what his TB status. Since the badger cull, that's been taken away from us, although we've done 25,000 skin tests and only failed one in the past however many years, since 2014. But we're now seen as too high risk because of the worry of reinfecting badgers. So I really wanted to invite people here, voice my opinion on that, and also within the isolation unit and the AFU criteria, there are some very small changes that would make a big difference to us. So I wanted to get that point across as well. And fortunately, everyone was more than happy to listen, and hopefully we might trigger some kind of change in the future.
So a little bit more about the farm itself. So what's the breeding policy from the other farm?
So we've changed recently. I've persuaded my cousin to move from British Blues to Angus. The last 5 years or so, I've had a real focus more on sustainability. I think the future of beef in this country has got to be grazing, multi-species lays, doing their best for the soil, doing their best for water quality, etc., etc. It's what consumers want. And the Angus fit that beautifully. We're feeding far less concentrate to get them finished, making better use of our grass. So he block calves in two blocks, so we get a big hit in the autumn, about 300 in the autumn, and then 200 in the spring, and we put them through our isolation unit before we bring them back here.
So I know one of the challenges you spoke about, of course you've got the luxury, if you like, of having a good supply of a good number of beef calves all at once. But one thing you spoke about was there was a bit of a limitation with policy where it came to filling up if you mm-hmm. were multi-sourcing.
Yes. One of the things we talked about was how long you have to fill your isolation unit in particular. It's currently 42 days. Now, that's fine for us, but we're very unique in that my cousin will keep hold of the older calves until the younger ones have been born, so we can still fit all 300 autumn-born calves into the unit within those 42 days. But if I wasn't to have my cousin's calves, if I were to buy from another dairy herd, there's no way I'd ever be able to get 300. That window of opportunity is so small. Even for big dairy farms, especially all year round calving ones, you don't get a huge number of calves born in a 42-day period. So the longer the period, the more calves you can have in an isolation unit. Therefore, economically, the more viable they are. You need equipment there that's specially just for that isolation unit. If you're only going to have 50 calves in there, it's very hard to justify a telehandler. If you've got 300 in there, it's easier. So that would make a big difference, I think.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Ian. That's great. No worries. Thank you. So I'm stood here with Michael Oakes. Michael, can you just explain what your position is at the NFU?
Yeah, for my sins, I'm the Dairy Board Chair for England and Wales.
We're here to talk about the GB Dairy Calf Strategy. What is the GB Dairy Calf Strategy?
It's an initiative that was started off in early 2020, and the industry came together, AHDB ourselves. We called in retailers, processors, and people throughout the meat supply chain. You know, we know that, you know, potentially there was a reputational risk at the farm level, and we wanted to make sure that farmers were aware of that and there were solutions, and actually just create that conversation about how do we make sure that every calf has a value and every calf has a life. I mean, it became quite apparent that TB and those farms shut down with TB had a slightly different issue, because they couldn't just, you know, find a buyer overnight, and they've got to find outlets that were licensed and get licenses and you know, the whole lot of paperwork that goes with it and the restrictions. So we were very much focused to bring in DEFRA, you know, Welsh Government brought along, APHA and all the other various stakeholders to try and understand each other's position. Because actually some things that they were saying, well, we can't let you do that because the risk is too great. Well, they haven't looked at the risk for a long time. So when they look at the risk, they say, well, actually, we could relax that. And we're going to see much easier for farmers shut down with TB to get general licenses to move cars in the future. So there's got some positives, real positives come out of that group. But it's helped us to understand, you know, where DEFRA are coming from, where APH are coming from, where Welsh Government are coming from. Those people that, rather than just moan about, we've sat on bales, in sheds, on farms, they're affected, as we are today. And actually, the understanding between each other has been really, really good.
We are here today on a farm. We're here at Ian Farrant's, of course. How important is it to be on farm?
I think it's invaluable. To take the guys, we always sort of say DEFRA sit in an ivory tower in London. Well, they don't. You've met the people here today. They are listening, they are learning, they're contributing. Yep. But when you sit on a farm that's either shut down with TB and you see the pressure that puts on buildings, on staff, on welfare, on the whole business, you can't beat that. You know, and Ian's, you know, talked about his AFU here today and the issues which will potentially change his business unless we can find solutions. And actually looking somebody in the eye across the table in the heart of the business that's affected is priceless.
Well, we've heard in this podcast about the dairy calf strategy and the TB subgroup and how active that's been. Well, I want to know more about what this group has really achieved. And I'm now joined by Dan Hackett, who is policy lead at DEFRA, and Tom Bradshaw, who is deputy president at the NFU. So I'll come to you first, Tom. Can you talk us through some of the successes, perhaps, that this group has had and how the group runs?
One of the unique things about this group is actually the ability to discuss English policy and Welsh policy in the same forum, which I think is really beneficial to all. Wildlife don't know that there's a boundary down there, and the disease impacts families and farmers both sides of that border. So being able to develop a strategy which involves everybody that's affected, it is really important. Having policy leads from DEFRA, from the APHA, from Welsh Government, yeah, it really builds that sense of partnership, trying to deliver measures that can really start to have an impact on reducing this disease. We've just heard about the general licensing. Now, farmers hate red tape, and anything which can make life easier can remove paperwork and remove the need to apply for a license for every individual animal to that general licensing. It's going to be really beneficial, and it's just going to help farmers at calving, an incredibly busy time of year, and that they're not going to have that sort of load on their shoulders. They'll be able to forget about some of those items. We've also seen easing in pre-movement requirements from AFU to AFU, which all came about from this group. And also the extended period for a movement or pre-movement test account before movement into an isolation period. So look, they're small things, but collectively they all start to add up to a policy which is just slightly more manageable and just helps farmers and reduces that the paperwork and that red tape that really does drive our members crazy.
Excellent. Thank you, Tom. Dan, it's great to have you stood here at Ian Farrant's. Can you talk us through a little bit about this new announcement and how that looks?
Yeah, I'd reiterate what's just been said about the valuable work that this group has done. I think the collaborative approach of the group has been excellent. And from a policy perspective, the best way to design and devise policy changes is to talk to people who are affected and impacted by those policy changes, and that's what's worked here. So in relation to the general licence change, up to now, cattle, TB-affected cattle, cattle keepers, if they want to send their surplus stock to an AFU either directly or via an orange market, each time they want to do that, they have to apply for an individual licence to APHA. That's a burden for them. It can also mean that they miss opportunities to meet buyers' demands. It's also an unnecessary, potentially, burden for APHA having to deal with these licence requests. So from today, the general licence is available for cattle keepers, TB-affected cattle keepers. They can move, and that will last from the period of between short interval tests. So, yeah, it's something the group recommended. They quickly identified, and this is where it's really useful to get industry perspective, that this would be, it seems like a small change, but it would be of such great benefit for TB-affected keepers. We will review it in a year's time because it only lasts between one short interval test and the next, so it's a big improvement. We'll see how that goes in a year's time. It will then be ripe for further review, I feel, and then potentially we could move it to last for the duration of a breakdown.
So, Dan, just to clarify, so the announcement's being made today, but this will be ready from the 2nd of October?
Apologies, yeah, absolutely right. We want to give industry notice that this is coming. 2nd of October, it comes into effect.
It's great to see you and your colleagues on farm. It's great to see everybody on farm today. How important has that been? To actually be sat round a table and looking over calves?
I think it's really important and really valuable because it brings the whole issues and the whole problems to life. It gives that context. We've developed sort of trust between policymakers and industry through this group. And it's an opportunity for each side to understand where they're coming from clearly. Being on farm, as I say, it brings all of the issues to life, and it gives us a much clearer understanding of why particular policies perhaps aren't working as they should, and also gives us an opportunity to better understand why certain changes could actually make, and they may be small changes, can make a big difference. Without visiting the farm, you can't really appreciate that.
Now, following this announcement, I decided to go back to Michael Oakes and ask him what it really meant to farmers.
I mean, it was one of the concerns at the very first meeting we had on a farm in Somerset, where we all sat around, as I said earlier, on bales, trying to understand where we were all coming from, and the likes of Abbey Reader in Wales and farmers in Somerset and throughout the country were going, actually, this is a problem. Getting these licences to move these calves is just too restrictive. It doesn't allow people to buy them in as they want to buy them in, or us to sell them as we want to sell them. And DEFRA went away and APH went away and actually looked at the risk and decided the risk was so minimal, you know, that this was going to be a win-win for the whole industry. So I think it's a real positive, you know, and that has come out of this group.
Fantastic. Now, what an excellent way to all be working together. So it was a short and sweet podcast, but some really important issues raised and a new policy change for us all to put into use in October. We heard from Ian, who is experiencing the bottlenecks of TB policy firsthand on his farm. He certainly expressed his views and was definitely listened to by everybody at today's meeting. We can see the importance of collaborative working to address big industry issues like this, and we must not underestimate the importance of illustrating these challenges by bringing our policymakers on farm. I was really struck in the meeting about some of the fantastic survey work going on in Wales, illustrated by Tori Morgan of NFU Cymru, and some of the trial work happening in Pembrokeshire. Of particular concern, of course, was the illustration of how TB had been affecting farmers' mental health. To learn more about the policy changes that GB Calf Strategy has been instrumental in already, you can find the article from December on NFU Online. Of course, for advice on what you can do to reduce risk of TB on your farm, please do make contact with the TB Advisory Service, and there, of course, there are resources on the TB Hub. Also, to get involved in GB Calf Week 2023, which starts on the 13th of September 2023, You will find a programme on the AHDB website. Simply Google AHDB and Calf Week. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you at one of the week's events.
If you have any comments about this podcast or have ideas for future episodes, please email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk.